Let us pray. Holy God, we have heard your word, and now we pray that we may hold it in the heart of our being, where it may grow and nourish us in faith and in hope and in love. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. It seems that Bob and Lynn weren't what they themselves would consider good neighbors. But when they saw a moving van in front of the house across the street, they decided to change their ways. Lynn prepared some homemade bread, and together they approached the house. When someone answered the front door, Lynn said, "Hi, we wanted to welcome you to our neighborhood. Here's some bread for you." The woman who answered the door said, "Thank you very much for your kindness. This is embarrassing. You see, we're not moving in. We're moving out. We've lived here for 8 years. I guess Bob and Lynn were right. They were not good neighbors. They were not good neighbors because they had not made their neighborhood a part of their home. And that's what I want to talk about today, creating home, not just in our neighborhood, but creating home in our lives. What constitutes the feeling or the sense of home, and how that relates to our relationship with God? I will admit at the beginning, I'm indebted, as I have been for the past few weeks, to Dr. Walter Brueggemann for this idea of home and for the title of my sermon. Now, he has three things that he says are descriptive of the concept of home that I would like to explore with you. He writes, "Home is wherever one is remembered, comforted, and gathered." Home is wherever one is remembered, comforted, and gathered. And we find all of these in our description in our very brief psalm today. So in many ways, I think Psalm 31 is about coming home to God. We hear in verse 1, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me." This speaks of gathering. It speaks of a sense of boundaries, a space wherein which one is safe, collected, nourished. Now, I think most of us feel that way about our physical homes. It's a place that has the boundaries of the walls. It's a place that we feel gathered, almost like in a cocoon. We feel that way so much that we even talk a lot today about the privacy of the home. What we do in our homes is private. It's not open to outside eyes or questioning, unless those doings so have been invited into our home. Home is a place where we can pull ourselves together. Together away from the outside pressures of the world. And yet, with our modern media technology, we have run the risk and the danger of destroying that. And we need to be very careful. By bringing too much of the world into our lives. The psalmist seems to speak of knowing his or her place, of not overextending his or her boundaries. It is so easy in our quest for information to be informed, to overextend our boundaries so that we become overloaded with information. Much of it useless. And in doing so, we lose our sense of feeling gathered, of feeling collected. Instead, we feel dissipated, spread out. We're overwhelmed. The computer's a marvelous intervention. Invention. Maybe some of us need an intervention from the computer. It's a marvelous invention. And with the internet, with Twitter, are great for letting us stay connected to things that are important to us. But we have to have boundaries. In an article entitled, "Fighting Data Asphyxiation is Difficult," William Van Winkle, not Rip, writes, "David Lewis of the International Stress Management Association originated the phrase, information fatigue syndrome. The barrage of data to which we are constantly exposed carries a cost both physically and mentally. In many ways, it's a bona fide addiction. I can live without the web for a week, but I start getting antsy after a single day without checking my email. At night, I read constantly from the dozen or so periodicals to which I subscribe while my wife channel surfs. This is our relaxing time? My spotty memory and short attention span are notorious to all who know me. I feel tired constantly, despite regular exercise, and yet continue thinking about the day's information load all the way to unconsciousness." The psalmist calls us to gather ourselves, to create those boundaries. And we do that in God by including God within our boundaries and setting aside time to remember what is important to us, what our priorities really are or should be. And there's a number of ways that we can do this. But that's my talk next week. So come back for volume 2. But if we want to have a sense of home, we need to start setting some boundaries to our lives. In the second verse of the psalm, we hear, "But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child from its mother, or with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me." Don't you just get an image of comfort? You can just see the child nestled in the mother's arms. Home is the place where we are nourished, not only with food, but with security and with love, which speaks of comfort. Home is where we can let our guard down, where we can let our hair down and be ourselves. As we let the world in, however, we have also let in the anger, the rage, and for many today, home has become not a place of comfort, but a place of fear, a place of danger. Home for many is also a place of manipulation so that other parties within the home can get what they feel they need to combat whatever fear they are feeling. In God, however, we are reminded that God loves us no matter what. God has not given up on us. When we did not listen to God's prophets, God sent God's Son. And when we killed Him, God sent God's Spirit. God doesn't give up on us. And when we come home to God, we find a parent who nourishes, a parent who forgives, a God who has promised to take care of us. Just like the parent of the weaned child. In the last verse of Psalm, we hear, "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore." Home is a place where we are remembered. We are somebody's beloved. A number of years ago, I shared with you the following true story. During the terrible days of a London Blitz at the beginning of World War II, after a bombing, people came out of the shelters and the underground tunnels. And among the ruins, they heard a little child crying. And looking around, they found this little boy who had survived above ground during the bombing. And he was sobbing. And somebody asked him, "Where is your father?" "He's overseas in the service," the child answered. "What about your mother, your brothers, and your sisters?" someone asked. "I don't have any," was the boy's reply. "They've all been killed." "Any relatives, grandparents, anybody?" "No." The rescuer then stooped down and got right in the child's face and asked, "Son, who are you?" And sobbing convulsively, the boy looked up with a quavering voice and said, "Mister, I ain't nobody, nothing. I ain't nobody's nothing." Home is where we are somebody's something. Home is where we can go and know that not only are we remembered, but we're special. We're important to somebody. We began this season of Epiphany, and we will end it next week with the words from the Gospel, "This is my Son, the Beloved." And we remember and we are reminded too that we are God's beloved. We are God's something. We are remembered. And because we are remembered, we can have hope for today and for all days. So the psalmist has given us a wonderful description of not only what our physical homes should be like, but even if they are not, we are reminded that we can and we must find a home in God. In our gospel passage, Jesus talks about trusting God to provide for us. However, if we don't feel like we have a home with God, if we feel that God is some being out there, we're not going to trust God. We can't begin to trust God. Therefore, it's imperative now, but especially as we begin to prepare to enter the season of Lent, in a week and a half. Lent is about going through a wilderness, the wilderness of our shortcomings. But if we can't trust God to lead us or be with us in that wilderness, we're not going to get through it. We have to believe that we have a home in God. that we can trust God. And so today I want to encourage you. Come home to God. Come home and know and gather yourselves in God. Come home and be remembered by God. Come home and be comforted by God. I find it interesting that in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, which is often read at funerals, Jesus says, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, you may be also." Jesus talks about God in terms of home, of rooms, where one is cared for. But that doesn't just happen in the next life. It does and can happen in this life. The question for us, will we check in? Amen.